Sorry about my phone actually went off during worship. So if you were like looking around the room and saying, who is that? I'll own it. It was me. I forgot to put it on vibrate. It was somebody trying to remind me about a car warranty. They've been trying to get a hold of me. So it's actually good to be back in the saddle. It feels like I've been away for how many weeks now? It's really a blessing to have so many capable teaching people now that it's not all up to like one guy anymore. So it's like, right? Very cool. And Casey and Chris and, you know, you guys, Neil, they just do an awesome job, right? Amen. Right? So it's just right. It's not like, you know, it's not like we're letting the kindergartners have a try. These guys are actually really good. Huh? Nate? Yes, Nate Wheeler. Yes, when he comes. Yes. I need to invite Nate back soon. All right. So we have a series about generations. How will the church reach generations? It's not just about, you know, going out and witnessing, but really, how can we affect our children? How can we maybe even reach and affect parents, grandparents? How could grandparents reach the divide to children? And right, how can the church really just begin to break out outside of its own vision and begin to minister to and reach all generations, right? Oh, wait. It's okay. I'm boring him? All right, time for a joke. No? Tickle torture? Yes, all right, there we go. So today the title of the sermon is really easy. It's open. It's, Lord, I'm open. A quarterback, right? He has a couple of receivers, right? And they call the play, but sometimes the play doesn't always go off the way that you hope it to. So the idea is the quarterback gets to decide in the moment whether it makes sense to do the play or whether it makes sense to do something else, right? Yeah, right. New Englanders love football, so cool. So the Lord is the quarterback in the story, right? And we all have a plan, and that plan usually in America looks like the pastor does it all and I just give. And that's not conducive to the kind of kingdom growth that he wants to accomplish, right? And so really what I want to talk about today is the Lord's a quarterback. America has a plan. The church has got a pattern that they're used to. And really, I'm just asking all of us to ask the Holy Spirit where we are to go. Just run down the field, turn and look, and see if the Lord's not going to be the one to throw the bomb to you and not to someone else. Yes? Okay, we got enough nods to move on. Hi there. All right, I'm going to actually start out of order, go figure. And I'm going to go to Ephesians 4. Thanks. Appreciate you, Casey. Ephesians 4:11, you guys have heard us read this. If you've been in a small group, a life group, you're familiar with this, unless you're in Neil's life group, in which case you're going to be studying this coming week, which is fun. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Some of you might be wondering, well, what are those and how are they all for today? Or are some of them gone and some of them are still today? Or are, right? And I'm not here to get hung up on all the roles and what they do right this second. I can do that later. It's not important to where I'm trying to go. And that is, let's just say that that's the core ministry team of the church, and every church has core ministry teams, right? The greater church, as well as each micro church, has a core ministry team, right? Yes. And their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Did you catch it? Their job is to equip the body, God's people, to do his work, right? And to build up the church. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Now that is a high and lofty goal, right? And that is a goal that guarantees that we ministers of any kind will always have a job, right? All right. Then we will no longer be immature like children. Nobody wants to be immature like a child, right? Bless your child. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Next slide. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who's the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy, growing, and full in love. Just read verse 16 one more time. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. I think I could just sit down and we could pray and we could end this day. Too many amens on that one. I never get that many amens. So what I heard, and I'm just going to bullet it out to you quickly. What I heard in that block of scripture was that the entire church is supposed to be functioning in such a way that the entire church is reaching out to the entire church and to a community, but to within the church to build each other up, to provide a unity in faith, to have a knowledge of Jesus. Hi, do you want the microphone? Okay. To have maturity in the Lord. I thought he was coming up to bless the body. right? To have maturity in the Lord, measuring up to the fullness of Christ. To be solid in our understanding. That's what I see. It talked about teachings and not being tossed around by every new wave of doctrine, right? But to be solid, right? There are plenty of scriptures in the Bible that talk about having a form of godliness, denying its power, right? Understanding, like, here's a scripture, but it doesn't have the power behind it to change a life, to transform us, to free us, to heal us, to grow and mature, right? And that's part of us. This is us, okay? You hear me? Are you okay with that? What's the first thing that comes to mind when I say you're supposed to understand teaching enough that you could help another believer understand teaching? Huh? Feelings of inadequacy, right? Everybody does. Everybody. If I had a dollar for every time someone feels inadequate, we talk about scripture, I'd be rich. And I don't say that to shame anybody. I just say that to say, hey, we're signing up. Like, we're signing up for the job when we follow Christ. To be a Christian means to be a little Jesus, literally speaking. And we have to understand what he's saying and how to help someone else understand what he's saying. We're never going to get it completely right. We're only going to see in part, the Bible says. But we still have to be there and ready to help, right? Okay. I actually have a much further goal here that I want to get to, but this is a step to get there. We have to help others grow as we do our special work, and each one of us has a special work, and I don't care how old you are or how young you are. Huh? How spiritually old or how spiritually young? Every person in the church was called, like, or just stinking tear Ephesians out of your Bible. I don't care which. I do care which. But do one or the other. But there is no like sitting on the sidelines, okay? Now, I do want to say there are seasons where the Lord can call us to engage, and there are seasons where he can call us to pull back so that we can invest our lives into something else. So if you're in a season and you know God has you in that season, fine. But don't let that season be a lifetime or a decade. Don't let that season actually be bitterness in disguise or fear or laziness, right? Wes? Okay. Yeah, buddy. And then the last bullet that I heard was that the church is to engage the church so that we are all healthy, growing, and full of love. And that's a never-ending process. So we always have a job, right? We talked about how the modern-day church model does not have within its overall reality this plan, right? It's evidence in the fact that we're all just sitting in chairs watching one person, right? That tells me that the church design unto itself is not even adequate to allow the entire body to engage the body, right? Like, Mike, how are you going to engage the rest of the room? You're facing that way, and everybody's behind you, right? You know what I'm getting at? So we have to start asking, Lord, from Sunday afternoon to Saturday night, how are you going to plug me into this special plan you have for me? And what might that look like? Right? And it's awesome because, Karen, I'm just going to say to you, like, someone saw you at the chiropractor, and they're like, I talked to her, and she's all in, on board for XYZ, right? Which meant you were ministering to somebody. It wasn't necessarily in the four walls on a Sunday morning. It was out and about, but God was using you to do your special work in them, right? Amen. Why not? Wouldn't expect anything less.
I have a business too. Is it not on? Lead generation appointment setting for the insurance industry. And so I talk to insurance agents, I don't know, all the time, from Texas, from Cal, but it doesn't matter. And every day I say to the Lord, just bring people in. And, you know, I always pray that Jabez prayer enlarge my territory, but enlarge it for you, and just let me be able to minister. I swear to God, it's the coolest thing. So they'll call, hey, you know, I want to just tell them about it. That happened the other day. This woman called. And after about half an hour, she just started to say some things. Next thing I know, hour and a half later, I just ministered to this woman who was so broken and so hurting. I don't even know this lady in Jesus, right? And it happens to me over and over. I can't, not because I'm anything, it's because I say, just use me. And now I have like agents just call to say, hey, listen, would you just like pray for me? Would you pray with me? I don't even know. I've never met, because that's what it's all about, right? So I love this. It's like my favorite thing, one of my favorite things I do in the whole world. It's just awesome. So if you pray for it, God will give you the craziest divine appointments with people you've never met, you don't know, I'll never meet, I'll never see. They're in like Texas. You know, they're in like California, they're everywhere. I'll never meet them, never see them. But yet we're like this, some of them, because of God is used, and it's just amazing. So what you're saying is cool, but it's also, don't be afraid, because if you pray, the Holy Spirit shows up and he just gives you the words. And the next thing you know, you're ministering. You don't even know what the heck you're doing. It's just happening. And at the end, you're like, thank you, Jesus. Yeah. It's all him. So yes, I'm all
Amen.
In.
Amen. Thank you. Right. And you know, I passed the mic to Andrew earlier today during the worship time, because in the pre-worship prayer time, he said these words, Lord, give me a word for the body. It wasn't like, if you're willing, I hope, you know, would you ever consider? It was very strong. It was like, Lord, give me a word. And how could a person ever like not give the microphone to that? Like, I expect a word for the body. And it wasn't like for him, it was for you, right? And so that's another challenge that I would have for all of you. And Karen just said the same thing, whether you're at the chiropractor or Walmart or grocery store or a church itself, it's Lord, I want something for someone else. Right? He answers quickly and he usually puts you on the spot, but you asked for it. And that's why I said, Andrew, you asked for it. And you said, no, I didn't. Yes, you did. And this is where we have to trust the sufficiency and the completeness of Christ and not the sufficiency and completeness of ourself. Because we're all messed up. We're all messed up. And I can stare every one of you in the eye and comfortably say that. Like, I'm screwed up. And we have to trust the sufficiency of Christ in the moment, right? When we ask Jesus to show up, God, give me a word. God, help me to... give me a prayer. Give me courage. Give me the answer that this person's looking for. Give me direction. Give me a healing for this person. Give me, right, the thing that you want to do, right? Not necessarily the thing we want, because when we're comfortable, we're not walking in faith any longer. We're walking in our own talent and our own sufficiency, right? We have to disengage from that and be like, God, what do you want in this moment? Yes? Again, has nothing to do with age. You could be oldest, youngest person in the room. He's got something. And also, don't be afraid to cross that generational barrier. A lot of times, like, older people are afraid to try to engage a teenager because teenagers could be smart Alex. Vice versa, teenagers, right? You're afraid to engage because you don't think you'll be respected. And so everybody stays within their acceptable groupings, right? And we just can't do that. Can we go on? All right. I will want to say this too. Stop waiting around to become the fullness of God when you're just so disqualified anyways. we have to just accept the imperfection, right? And let the fullness of God come. And that's where I wanted to open up with, where are we at? It's the actually one of the scriptures I used a couple weeks ago, 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 9. And I've just started with verse 7. If you only look at us, and this is the ministry team in Paul's story as he's speaking about, you might as well miss the brightness. We carried this message, this presage message, around in unadorned clay pots of our ordinary lives. That's to prevent anyone from confusing God's incomparable power with us, right? So if you're insufficient, you're inadequate, if you're broken, if you've made mistakes, and those things are like out there in front of your mind, and you're like, this is what disqualifies me. Yes, just understand that you're carrying within you the precious message of Jesus, the good news. Yes? And what is the good news? It's Isaiah 61. Huh? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, right? To announce the good news, right? To heal, to bind up the brokenhearted, to heal their wounds, right? To open prison doors, to declare that this is the favorable year of the Lord's favor in your life, right? There's the good news has such depth to it. Like it's basically the Swiss Army knife of Jesus is here, and whatever you need, he's got something for that. Makes sense? And our inadequacy doesn't really matter anymore. We are just the clay jar carrying this powerful thing. And there's no confusing when the world sees God in broken us. There's no confusing that he's the one. If you earned your spot because of your perfection and because you tried really hard and you got everything right and you, like, people are like, oh, that's just because that person did everything right. And there's no glory for the Lord, right? That's not permission to go do what you want, but it's just encouragement that you aren't enough and that's okay. He's enough. You with me? Okay. As it is, there's not much chance of that, for you know yourselves that we're not much to look at. We've been... Have you seen my blue shirt? We've been surrounded and battered by troubles, but we're not demoralized. We're not sure what to do, but we don't know... But we know that what God knows... But we know that God knows what to do, right? Anybody in this room walk into a situation and be like, I have no idea what I'm supposed to do. Yes. And then you're like, but I know you do. And so your prayer is like, when you're saying, God, I'm making myself available in this mess right now, it's basically surrender. Literally surrender. Jesus, you've got a plan. I'm so scared. I don't know what's, right? I surrender to your plan, right? And wherever two or three are gathered in his name, he's there in the midst of us. Thank God Jesus is on the spot, on the scene, right? And he can do what he wants. He can say what he wants. We don't get to measure the fruit because there are times where he actually wants to use three different people throughout that day or that season, that week, and you were just person number two and you didn't know it, and you just confirmed the same thing someone else said yesterday and something someone else is going to say next week, right? And your job is just to show up and do the thing. And then he gets the glory, right? We've been spiritually terrorized, but God hasn't left our side. Have you ever been spiritually terrorized? I bet you have. Have you been to church for a few years of your life? Oh yeah, you've been spiritually terrorized. nobody wants to laugh at that. We've been thrown down, but we haven't broken. A few times we've been thrown down, huh? A couple of times we dumped ourselves on the ground. Yeah? I mean, everything that God wants to do through you is through the intimacy of him pursuing you so that he could reveal Jesus to you so that you would be able to reflect him in some way, right? He loved you first. He's revealed himself to us when we weren't looking for him, the Bible says. Right? So all of this, it just shows me, like, if you're going to talk about the Lord, if you're going to introduce him into anything, if you're going to pray and expect him to meet an answer or meet or answer that prayer, it's because we're expecting him to just keep doing what he's already historically done in our life. Just keeps revealing himself. Right? Did I lose you? I mean, it almost sounds like it's not faith. It actually just sounds like it's admitting that God has a pattern of being faithful. And we can wrap that in this beautiful word, faith, but really just acknowledging the fact that God has always been faithful, right? Like, name a time, you may not have gotten what you wanted, but name a time that he wasn't faithful. I got plenty of stories. He didn't do what I asked him to do, but he showed up and he was so faithful. It was undeniable. He was in all those messy little details, just working stuff. And you know? Yes? This means yes. Oh, good. All right. But the church is sitting, looking around for the most talented people to do 80, 90% of the work. Right? I speak, baby. I mean, in general, right? Isn't that just the human way? We look for the expert, right? New Englanders love their experts. In the South, everybody's an idiot. So we don't really look to that, you know? That's why you moved up here. You wanted to be you wanted to be respected, didn't you? No, I kid you not. Up here, everybody loves their subject matter experts, don't we? Ooh, Dr. Fauci said it. It must be true. He's a doctor, right? No? So, the church of First Corinthians, kind of like the First Baptists, these were the First Corinthians, they had their heroes in their church, and they were really positioned well because they had a lot of traffic of traveling ministers coming through and blessing them, and these were like some of the best ministers. And so Paul was the guy who planted, but then there was Apollos, who was this amazing speaker, and there were people who would listen to Apollos, and they would compare his awesome speaking ability to the plainness of Paul, and they'd be like, he's my hero. That dude moves me, right? And then other people are like, yeah, but Paul, he showed up, he took a beating, he did this miracle for me, and yeah, he's a little boring, but if you know his heart, he's like solid, right? Remind you of people? Like, it almost sounds like the church today, right? Yes? And Paul had to kind of correct their thinking, and he said, this is in 1 Corinthians 3, I believe it's that. Yeah, thanks. You're fast. After all, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We are only God's servants. Can you say that? We are only God's servants. Now, when you look at someone next to you, can you say to them, you are one of God's servants? Right? Why did I do that? Because I love control. No. Because I want to bring this fact down to this one and simple fact, this one point, that we are all God's servants. And who is Paul? And who is Apollos? And who is Billy Graham? And who's the next best guy coming up next year? It doesn't matter. Like, you're it. Like, in all of your imperfect, messy beautifulness, you're it. And this is not a motivational speech. This is just the reality of the kingdom of heaven, that God saved you and he called you out of darkness into his marvelous light so that you could show forth the glory of God, right? Like, you were called with a purpose. Darkness, clean, now show. Right? And so, we're only God's servants through whom you believe the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. Did you understand? Like, Paul didn't do the whole thing. Apollos didn't do the whole thing, right? There was nobody there doing the whole thing. It was just each part doing the work that they were given by the Lord. Yes? Well, thank God, because it's not all up to one guy or one girl, right? Okay. So I planted the seed in your heart. Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. Isn't that the most important thing? Yeah. You know what I love about the fact that he used a seed in the analogy when he could have used anything? Like, he could have used NASCAR, right? But he didn't. He used seeds because seeds grow out of dirt. I love that. Dirt. Nothing glorious, nothing cool, nothing sexy about dirt, right? It's dirt. And it's like each person is showing up to do the job that they do in the dirt. And then the Lord makes something beautiful grow. Something that's a blessing, something that keeps reproducing, something that has fruit, something that has shade, something that becomes fuel, right? He's the one that shows up in this inglorious dirt situation that we're all just doing what we do, and he makes it beautiful. Amen? It tells me that it's less about us being skilled and more about us just being willing and showing up and obedient and letting him bless that thing, right? There's a psalm where David said, make our effort successful. Make it successful, God. Like, I have effort, but it's nothing unless you show up, right? Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders build in vain. Lord, build with me, build through me, right? Repair, do something. Just know that there's seasons, right? And that's the beauty of the dirt, the planting the seed. Harvest time is only for part of a year. Planting time is for part of a year. Watering time is for part of a year, right? So I'm not here to exhaust you, and I'm not here to pass around a clipboard. I need you to volunteer for this, right? I will challenge you in a minute here. So don't, like, get too loose. Keep your hair up. Tighten a bun. You're like, please be out of notes, please. I'm running out. 1 Corinthians 3, 8 through 9. That's quite a ways down, sorry. It shouldn't be, but you don't know what I just skipped. If you knew, you'd be saying hallelujah. The one who plants, the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work. We are both God's workers, and you are God's field, you are God's building. The thing that really stands out to me, I love it right in the middle of the screen, is you will be rewarded. So for those of you who've dared to have the courage to say, God, show up, use me, bless this thing that you want to do through me, there's a reward. Like, you were called out of darkness into his marvelous light so that you could show forth his glory. And by the way, he did that through you. You were willing, and now he's going to reward you. Phase 4, reward. You know what I mean? Like, he's good. Like, what father doesn't reward their kids when they're doing the right thing? Right? And I feel like we all need to, like, stop and think about it, internalize it, and thank God for the fact that he wants to reward people who are faithful to keep showing up and giving and revealing Jesus. Now, some of us would be like, well, I don't do it for the reward. Well, good for you. That's great. He's still going to reward you. You know what I mean? What's it going to look like? I don't know. I'm not a good father. He is. Right? Some of us are like, well, I don't want to hear that. Well, sorry. He wants to reward you, and he wants to position you for a place where you can be faithful and where you can be rewarded. He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Right? That's who he is. If you don't like it, you got to rip out Hebrews. And we don't give to get. We don't do to deserve. But the fact is, to know that he is going to reward you helps, especially during those shaky times where you're like, God, do you even see me? God, does this matter? Do these people care? Does this, right? Fill in the blank, right? Would anybody care if I stopped doing this? Well, he would, because he's setting you up for a reward. It changes the audience from the person you're focused on or the people group you're focused on to the one thing that matters, him. You're no longer serving this, you're serving him. And he's showing up and bringing the increase, right? This is good. Because you're nodding, you're getting it. God will reward you for seeking to be used of him to build up his body. And that can be in the four walls or outside of the four walls. It could be across denominations. God has one church, right? And he's just looking for people to be the blessing that he's asking for. I'm not going to read this. I'm just going to quickly tell you to you. But in Exodus 18, Moses was positioned as the deliverer, right? And he brought a million people out of Egypt, and they were on their way to this promised land, right? You know that story? All right, so the guy obviously had a busy workload helping to manage a million people. right? And it talked about how people would come for direction or for a judgment. There was an argument in the camp, you know, so-and-so, their dog pooped in my tent, and, you know, right? Huh? I'm sure they had dogs, yeah. At least cats. They came out of Egypt. But you get the point. So from morning until evening, it says people would line up to talk to Moses, to complain to him, to get direction, to get God's advice to them, a direction, right? And it was going way long, and it was wearing Moses out. And there was this part where Moses' father-in-law came to visit him, and he said, "This isn't good." Like, that's quote you from the scriptures. "This is not good." And he said, "Choose from among yourselves men, capable people, like leaders of tens, leaders of hundreds, leaders of thousands. Like, it's time to start setting up structure of people, willing hearts who can share the load." And he said, "And if you know, if your lower tier can't handle the case, then they can bubble it up to the next level and they can escalate." So nobody's stuck. There's freedom, there's openness, there's relationship, there's accessibility, right? And these people are now being used of God too. So they're getting that blessing of what it feels like to have the Lord flowing and speaking and using them. Right? Are you with me? Do you think like us? You're not expecting a sucker punch right now, right? I don't have an agenda. I believe that this is the season. You could disagree with me, but I believe this is the season where God is going to begin taking what the American church model looks like, where everything flows through a pastor down or through a leadership team down, and he wants to continue to flip and make River special because the people of God are willing to check in on each other and be a part of each other's lives in such a way that you're solving the majority. Let's call it the 80% of the issues that are in each other's lives, like picking the ticks off each other, right? Like monkeys. Right? I know that's not really cool, is it?
Steve literally picked the tick off my child during worship.
Did you eat it?
No.
Oh. Good job. Good job, man. That's awesome. Tick picker. All right. Back to this. You hear and understand what I'm getting at, right? There's a place where it can come, information can flow in one or two, three different ways. One, you're in such deep relationship with people around you and you've committed yourself to them and they've committed themselves to you so that when they need help, when their marriage is hurting, when their, you know, home life is hurting, their discipline issues with their children, they don't know where to go with it. They need healing. They need comfort. They need peace. They're heartbroken. They just need someone to vent on. They need direction from the Lord. They need very specific direction beyond the, right, the ordinary. They have a question about scripture. They read it. They don't understand it. It's plaguing them, and they need some direction, right? And they want to talk it out. That's the stuff pastors do, right? But that's also the stuff the body of Christ was called to do. So that's one way. We make ourselves so available and so ingrained in each other's lives that we just feel comfortable. Like, "Hey, Ricky, can you talk to me for a minute," right? That's one way. Another way, someone's in crisis, they call me, which I'm fine with. Call me. I give my cell phone out, not on YouTube. I'll give it to anybody in the room, though, you know what I mean? And if there's a need, I can always kind of hand it off to an elder, but I can also, you know what? I think hand it off to you. I think that's more of a victory, and I think the elders would love to be nod and say, "Let us support the body of Christ as they engage each other in that place." And then, of course, if you guys hit a wall and it's like one of those really weird situations and you just don't know what to do with it from your first attempt, then bring in an elder, bring me in, bubble it up, kind of like Moses' father-in-law was saying. But the point is that nobody's stuck, there's freedom, and everybody's being used. All right, where's that clipboard? I told you I wasn't going to pass. Some of us are going to be good at ministering to certain ages, okay? Some of us will feel led to that. Some of us are going to feel led to do things like, you know, I pray for people for healing, right? That's really how the Lord uses me. Okay, don't be limited, but if that's where he's given you specific direction, that's your work, great. Some of you are like, you know, I just feel really led to help families with debt, right? Some are like, you know, I love to encourage families. I love to get involved in marriage crisis. I love to get involved in family dynamics. I love to talk about and just break apart scripture and share different viewpoints on it so that it can help people get free and apply scripture a little more deeply, right? These are all ways, like, we need to be ready to do this for each other. We need to start. I don't have an answer. Like, I actually puzzled over this. Casey was asking me, like, how do you expect to talk to the people, to the body, about this idea? And I'm like, do I have a survey out there? And everybody, like, filled out the survey and says, hi, my name is Jim, and I could do this, this, not that, but this and this. Huh? I don't like that model because I don't feel like there's any relationship there.
Right?
Right? Like, we're not like this phone book of... You know what I mean? Like, but at the same time, if you've been this like gem who's hiding, Brendan, then you need to like let me know like what's in your heart, what you're capable of, and what is your like where does the Lord use you, and how does He use you? What are some of your stories? Like, how has He in the past flowed through you? And like, right? I need to know these things, and others need to know these things, so that when the crisis arrives, then I'll be like, oh, you know what? Mike Fox, he's your dude. Can we get on the phone with Mike right now, right? Everybody got quiet because everybody doesn't want to get called on. 1 Corinthians 3:10-14, I think that might be the last of the scriptures, says, because of God's grace to me, I, as Paul, have laid the foundation like an expert builder. He's the one who planted the church. Now others are building on it. Can you say, now others are building on it? That is exciting. Paul was refreshed by this idea. He was not threatened by this idea that now others are building on the thing he planted. It was exciting, like a father or a grandfather watching the family grow, and the kids are growing up and having kids, and they're all building on it too. You know what I mean? Now others are building on it, but whoever's building on this foundation must be very careful. No one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, which is Jesus Christ, right? Anybody tries that, we're pulling your ministry card. Right? Okay. But verse 12, anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials. Did you understand the word may? What does that mean? Can, cannot. There's freedom. There's choice. There's ability. There's limitation. There's, right? All these things come into play. Your knowledge, your understanding. It's all a big may. You could build with gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, straw. Not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. Right? And when the wolf huffs and puffs, we'll see if your house blows down. Verse 13, on judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. Now, I don't mean verses 13 and 14 to be scary. What I want to say is that verse 12 gives me so much hope. Because there are days where I feel like this is just me, but I know that you can agree, where I build with gold, and there's other days where I feel like I build with wood or worse. You know what I mean? There's times I look back on my life and said, ah, that season of my life was such a straw building phase. And then there's other ones I look back on, I'm like, wow, the best, awesome. I love those days, right? And you can't just live in regret. You can't stop because you look back now and say, I could have done better. You just keep moving forward, right? There's freedom in that, and I want to encourage you in that. Like, if you ever invested into someone's life and it didn't go the way you'd hoped, and you're like, I wonder if I really should keep doing, or I wonder if I should keep investing in the kingdom. Yes. You should keep investing in the kingdom. Just bring your gold next time. Bring your best. Bring your A game in the Holy Spirit, right? And keep moving forward. There's freedom. And if someone ever, like, you invest in someone and they're like frustrated with the results and they're like, you know, I got to go find someone else because what you just brought me is like wood and I need more than that, you know? Okay. At least you gave. At least you were led by your heart. Your intention was good, right? You still planted seeds. And you combine with other people's efforts so that the Lord could build whatever he wants out of that and make it beautiful, right? Just don't bring your judgmentalness, your your black and white thinking, your good advice without apart from the leading of the Spirit, right? Don't bring you know what I think? No, I really don't, and I don't want to. I don't want to know what you think. I want to know what he thinks, right? Please tell me what God is saying in this. Amen. And then what I really love about the end of 13 and into 14 that I find so encouraging is that a fire will show if a person's work has any value. Does you know what that means? No human being is ever going to be able to tell you what your work was valued at. It's God's fire. His holiness gets to examine, and the loving Father gets to be the one to look at your work and tell you what's valued, right? How it's valued, not somebody else. So if someone's frustrated and they just think what you had wasn't good enough, that doesn't define you. What defines you is that you loved and now you made something that gets to go before the Father and he gets to consider its worthiness. There's going to be a lot of Christians who never make it that far because they didn't care enough to bring anything. And so that discussion of the fire of God looking at their work is a real short conversation. It goes like this. You didn't do anything. You know what I mean? So I'm hoping what I'm doing is stirring up within you this desire to want to bring stuff. And if you feel like you're unqualified, you don't know enough, great. Just bring what you have. Bring your silver. Bring your wood. I don't care if it's not gold. Bring something. Give us, let's throw some oatmeal on the wall and see what sticks. Right? All my clean people said, no, don't do that. Now others are building on it. You know, Paul could have been like, don't build because you guys aren't as good. Like, you don't understand the way I understand it. I laid this pretty foundation and now you're going to bring all your junk and it's going to really cheapen the place. Right? I don't want a ghetto. Stay away. Right? And I just want to keep encouraging all of us before I end this sucker that God is not in the business of building ghettos by his Spirit in you. He makes everything beautiful in its time. Right? He gives us beauty for ashes. Just bring the ashes. If that's all you have, bring them. Bring the story. Bring the victory. Bring the times that God has been faithful. Bring the scripture of the day that he gave you. Bring something. The willingness to listen, to smile, to pray. Yes? So I do have some things that I'd love to cover. May the Lord bless you and keep you. That's right. And give you Kleenex. Do you need one? All right, cool. We own stock in this. Business is good. I have so much more I'm going to say, but I can't do any of it. But I want to convince you guys that God chooses the foolish things of the world to build his kingdom and to confound the wise. And so, again, if you're like, I just don't have what it takes, great. God is ready to use your foolishness, my foolishness, to confound wise people by doing it the wrong way, and yet God blesses it sometimes. You know what I mean? Or by doing it the right way, and the world says, that's not the right way, but then it's the right way. But yeah, but if you looked at every other area of your life, it shouldn't have gone down like that. It shouldn't have succeeded. It should have, I mean, I know you, and you're just not that qualified. You're not that good. And yet, he could breathe on things, right? He uses foolish things. So if you qualify as foolish, raise your hand if you want to. I qualify as foolish, right? Foolish. And yet he's going to do something. I know he is, right? If anybody's wondering if I'm going anywhere and I'm looking to replace myself, nope. There's no funny agenda here, okay? But I am in the business of replacing myself. As a soldier, every soldier trains other soldiers because when he goes down, other soldiers know how to pick up what he does and keep doing it, right? So I am in the business of putting myself out of business, but I'm not actively trying to put myself out of business. I'm not trying to replace any elders. I'm not trying to replace anybody else, you know? Anybody else who's like a solid person in this community, I just want to replicate you, okay? Fun. All right. ladies, would you be willing to join us on, we have a show for you. I wanted to pray over these four things, and we have this song about keeping your heart open. And the four concepts on that last slide, Lord, I'm your servant, and I'm open to my role in building up people that make up the body of Christ. So some of us, we just need to ask for open hearts because we're too closed. And our imagination's too small. Yes? Thank you that you aren't dependent upon my strengths. I trade my insecurity for openness. Okay? Some of us have to get over the insecurity of who we are or who we aren't. Right? Our past, our present, we got to get over it. I know it's hilarious, whatever's happening over there, but try to focus. All right. Use my brokenness and foolish life to completely flip the story of brokenness for others. That's the equivalent of Andrew saying, give me a word. Someone else, I mean, we need, like, use my foolishness, flip the script on somebody else's brokenness, right? Do that, God. Take my story. Make it a blessing somehow, right? I'm open. You're the quarterback. I know you might choose to throw the ball to someone else, but I'm still running. I'm not sitting on the sideline saying, you never throw it to me. I'm still running the play, right? And then the last one is create moments where I must be sensitive and surrender to however you want to work through me. Like, put me in the spot where I have to be dependent. Yes? Does any one of those really grab you and say, yuck? That's the one that you should be praying on. That's the one the Holy Spirit is putting on, like saying, open. I declare open hearts to the kingdom of God, to the purposes of God, to the will of God in Jesus' name. Lord, we just ask that Lord, you do it. I'm not asking, Father, for people to sign up and volunteer and become, you know, filth spots. I'm asking that, Lord, you would begin to have conversation this week that would unfold as the week goes, how you want to use your people. God, how you want to take priorities and maybe flip them in their life. Maybe people are too busy and they can't engage. Maybe some are just not engaged because of fear. But Lord, you want to speak to each child of yours as a father has conversations with their children and you want to engage them. God, I pray that you'll begin to give people burdens. I pray that you'll begin to take away the ones that you don't want them to have. I pray that you will strip away hiding places when people are not interested in engaging. I pray that you will shake the foundations of our life, God, until, like Jonah, we just say, fine, I'll do what you want. I pray, Father, for an open and excited partnership of families working together. Even generational efforts, God. Grandparents, parents, children, teens, all working together. Pursuing the plan of God together, I ask. Teach us, God, as parents, how to even involve the kids. And we think they don't have what it takes. They don't know. But God, teach us how to be good parents and raise them in that. But for marriages who, they just can't work together, I just ask that you'd cause them to find a grace to work together in ministry with each other. Flipping scripts of brokenness in other families. Yeah, we surrender to you, God. We surrender. We say yes, Jesus. So we're just going to just kind of sing, and you guys just pray and really start thinking. Maybe write down some things if you feel like he's speaking to you so you don't forget. And then we'll continue the conversation after.
This is the death of my ambition. holding back nothing, nothing from you. Leave my heart open. I leave my heart open, open to you, Jesus. I'm holding. Start of resurrection, yeah, where new beginnings come from death. I'm gonna trust you with my future, Lord. I surrender to your plan. I leave my heart open, I leave my heart open.
just thank you for courage that each person will take their life before the throne and present it. And Lord, that you'll begin to move us out of what we would consider perhaps to be the theoretical realm of, I know I'm supposed to do something, and into the experiential realm of, yes, God, use me. Every day, use me. Lord, I pray you start in our house. I pray that you touch our neighbors. I pray that you touch those in the stores or on the job. I pray that you minister through us to other houses within our family, God. Up and down that family line, I pray. God, redefine church for us. What it looks like Monday through Saturday. Redefine it. I pray that River will be special. Special before you, because we don't look for others to do it. We look to ourselves to say, God, use me. Give us a hunger and a passion waking up in the day, Father, to say, Lord, I'm excited to see how you're going to use me. And I thank you, God, that we are so unqualified, because it just speaks to your grace. It speaks to your power, your mercy, your tenacity to use unusable people and yet still do something effective in other people's lives. We're pulling people out of darkness. Thank you. Pulling people out of sickness, pulling people out of depression, pulling people out of that sense of being lost or unreconciled to someone else, God. Yeah, we look to you, God. The one who will fulfill his purpose for us. To encourage you guys that if the Lord spoke to you, if he laid something on your heart, that is important, that you should treat it like it's important, and I would ask that you share it. Like, I ask that you share it with me, with the elders, with, you know, Paul, he's in the back, Chris is, well, he was over there, he's gone. Just share with Karen, let her encourage you. Share it with, you know, Nikki, Allison, like, just share it with each other so we can begin to foster and cultivate an environment of challenging each other and, like, not letting each other sit. Because it's too comfortable to just face the front and be quiet. Right? Amen? Yes. Are you scared? No? Okay. Yes, Sue.